This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, Hayden Wallen. The gang is all here. How are we today? As we come in on this Monday, a victory Monday for, well, for Cam and I, NFL teams, not a victory Monday for the Vols. Not a victory Monday for the Cowboys either just yet.
I mean, just yet. Just yet, my friend.
You might get
just
a victory yet. Tuesday, which is sometimes better than a victory Monday.
Oh, it is. Sometimes. Oh, it is.
Sometimes.
Closer to the weekend just a little bit, just that sure. Day closer. Mm-hmm. Everybody talking about your team the next day. Mm-hmm. Nobody really talking about NFL Sunday anymore. They're talking about that Monday night game.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. September 27th, the last Monday of September. How are we today? Thumbs up from Hayden. Love to see it. Cam, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Yeah?
I've had a great couple days.
Congrats on your victory, Cam.
Thank
congrats
you.
On
you
your victory.
Good. You got a different glow about you.
You really
yeah.
do.
You came in.
You, really
got a nice, you got a nice little collared shirt on. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I had to film a commercial this morning.
Oh.
I was doing things.
Okay.
Being productive. It's been a good couple days.
Well, there you go.
Look at him.
I'm rocking
Look
and rolling, you know, doing lots of random stuff. So.
Just needed a great just couple of Falcons victory.
Yeah,
that's all.
It just
that's all
changes
it
everything. You know, here we go, rocking and rolling.
And you got another winnable game at home this week, right?
Yep, we got Washington.
Okay.
Beat the football team
then
for
we
me.
Go to London, play the Jets.
Okay.
Our bye week, so let's get it rolling.
Uh-oh.
Get it rolling.
3-2 headed into a bye week with a lot of momentum. Man.
Man, this week's a must win.
Oh yeah,
it really is.
Oh yeah,
your boy Taylor Heinicke.
I know. All those he can't come back home.
Yeah.
All those things you've said about him.
It's gonna be
homecoming for Heinicke.
I'm going to need him to throw the game.
What could go wrong? Well, you look good. I'm happy for you.
Appreciate it. It was good. Yeah. Nice to see you win. You just got to get the first. It's always the first one. The first one's the toughest.
That's what they say.
First one's the toughest.
The second one's a little bit easier, so.
Yeah. Congrats to Arthur Smith. First win as a head coach, so.
Yeah, congrats, Arthur. He's got that defense humming. He,
he
always
does.
Knows his defensive mastermind.
He does. They were great somehow without A.J. Terrell, but okay.
Offense still stinks, and he's an offensive coach, yep. But. He's got the defense, I mean, that's all that matters.
Were they great, or was the Giants' offense just not good?
Defense played pretty
again,
well.
Again, the red zone was, like, avoiding this game.
They also had a couple,
like, literally,
two of their
they
top,
would not
like,
play
three
a
receivers
second.
Got injured in, like, the first quarter.
Oh, yikes.
Like, Shepard and Slayton went down, and it was just.
I literally got to see the field goal, and then I got to see Jason Garrett looking like a dumbass on the sideline right after the field goal.
You know you can't give a young Way any chance to kick a field goal. He's.
Well, one of the things I saw was basically, like, what are the two things Daniel Jones is good at? Deep balls and zone reads, and they ran zero zone reads and only threw one deep ball. So,
yep.
Good job by Jason Garrett.
There you go.
But congrats to you, Cam. Happy to see it. Draven, how are you, my friend?
You even got to ask how I am, man. It's
Focus.
Game day. It's
okay.
Game day,
so
man. I'm ready. Yes,
nervous?
Sir. No, not nervous
it
at all.
Didn't seem one bit nervous, actually.
No, not even a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not. Right at all these idiots out there picking the Eagles. It really does. It blows my mind. It really does. You got Colin Cowherd taking the Eagles. You got Shannon Sharpe, of course, just trying to go against Skip, taking the Eagles. You got John Reed taking the Eagles. Like, man,
and Cameron Black
ready to prove all
the
these idiots wrong.
The Eagles plus 3.5, by the way.
Yeah, definitely
not.
Did you get the half? Because I saw it at plus 3 earlier today.
Yeah, I didn't get plus 3.5 on the... I saw
the graphics plus 3.
Yeah. Already trying to cheat that half point, aren't you?
That point, but.
Yeah. Either way, whatever. It's fine. I was more so just disappointed in myself for talking myself out of the Rams. That was my favorite pick all week, and then everybody picked. I was like, oh, I'm not going to pick them. And then they dominated.
Tried to tell you.
I know. It's
tried
fine.
To tell you.
It's fine. I got another picks pool thing I do, and that was my lock, so that's good. Nice. But it didn't go well for me there. Felt dumb for backing the Steelers. I know Big Ben's watch. What was it? I was more so betting against Burrow, and Burrow still, that offense still ain't great, but man,
yeah.
Big Ben is terrible.
Yeah,
how dumb do you feel, Hayden, having the Steelers in your pick pool? My goodness.
Yeah.
They're going to single-handedly lose that for you. That was, yeah, they're not going to win.
They're so bad.
They're terrible.
The football team didn't look too good either.
That was your fourth round pick.
I know.
Oof. Did you see the video of Big Ben literally just falling as he's throwing like a little shovel pass? He just literally falls. I'm like, come on,
it's
man.
It's funny because I saw
a tweet that said, is that when you stand up from the couch after watching NFL for 4 hours straight, you just fall over.
The best one was someone posting his highlights in black and white and said there's no way this guy could play in the league today.
Yeah, that, it was a little old-timey music in the background.
And he looked awful. Man, yeah, we'll see what Mike Tomlin does. Feels like he's going to have to put old black and yellow down. Just put him out of his misery. Because I don't think he's going to make it all season.
Haskins time.
I guess that's the thing. Like, well, what do? We going to go to Haskins? Really? That's what he wants to do? Haskins? And you're like, I don't know. I guess that's not that much better of a...
Still got old Rudolph there too, huh?
Is Dobbs gone?
And Dobbs as well, right?
They have four quarterbacks.
I think Dobbs is injured, though. I think he's like been injured for the year or something. Yeah.
Okay. That's a nice job if you can get it to be injured.
Yeah.
Just get paid to be injured.
Yeah. Get put on IR.
How are you, John?
I'm all right.
Congrats to your Titans as well. I'll admit where I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, that was just... At what point did you realize, man, this Colts team stinks and everything I've said all offseason, I just seem really stupid
when
now.
Carson Wentz couldn't move. He couldn't literally move. And he's still holding the ball. He's still just sitting back there holding the ball.
Wow.
I'm like,
it's almost like I've told you that for all offseason that he doesn't know how have any pocket awareness and like his offensive lines look terrible because he doesn't know how to play quarterback.
You saw that
last night, right? Yesterday, right?
Yeah. I mean, literally, the only way they could move a ball was throwing a screen pass or running it. That was literally it. That was their only. That was their only offense.
It seems like it's quickly falling apart for them. Like the only good
in the red zone.
The
my
only
God,
the only good
in
group
the red
of,
zone.
The only good position group they have are running backs. Like I feel like,
especially
on offense.
Those are their best players.
And then I mean, you got what Quentin Nelson hurt again, sprained ankle as well. Like what the hell's going on down there?
Is there anything from those rushing back from foot injuries that like make the ankles more susceptible? Because both guys that like
I could see it
had the broke foot that they rushed back are now both like sprained ankles and can barely move. So I know it's the same body part.
Yeah,
but
maybe
I don't
you
know
get a
little
timid with like foot placement and it causes you to like overcompensate and you know mess up your ankle.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean no. Sloppy game. I'm more on the Mike Vrabel side of like, hey, we got to clean it up. We're not happy with a 9-point win.
I mean, they should have killed him. They should.
They did kill him like on the field, but yeah, the scoreboard was.
I mean, they could have put up 40 if they didn't have the turnovers. What on like the other side of the 50, pretty much every time, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was frustrating. One awful Tannehill pass.
What the hell was that? That was worse than the Big Ben interception where he's throwing it between three people.
Someone on the TV said the tight end ran the wrong way, like or moved right when Tannehill was going. But I thought it was a terrible throw. Like I thought it was as bad as it could get. The second one wasn't his fault. It was a good pass. It just
bounced off.
Chester Rogers dropped the ball, and he had a couple big catches the last couple weeks. So I wasn't that mad. And then just a fumble. Just sloppy football, but when you're that much better than your opponent, you can take care of business. And it was nice to get a win over the Colts at home. I don't take them for granted. It was nice.
Hard Knocks got to be regretting picking the Colts of all time. I guess it'll be more intriguing. Just people probably tune in more just to see how disastrous it is
so
behind the scenes.
Still, do we think that's still going to happen? Because that was one of my takeaways. Yesterday was like, man, if you're with the Colts, like you can't invite them in there when you're going to be, I mean, at best, like 2-5.
That would have to drive you insane as a player. Like you're trying to figure out how to get some wins, trying to get your season together, and there's just cameramen following you around all the time at practice.
Well, I mean, like they have to go to Miami and play. And Miami, it was funny, Miami actually like had more people betting on them than the line moved when Jacoby Brissett was announced versus Tua. Like they're like, okay, we'll ride with Brissett. And he did okay yesterday. But I mean, if you're the Colts, you go at Miami, at Baltimore. So like, if you lose this week, you're going to be most likely 0-5.
Premieres November 17th. So right. That would be, what, week 11?
Yeah, I don't know like how much, like, when they start shooting to get like some backstory and get some footage. I don't know, but that team looks very, very bad, and that roster's not very good, so it's going to be a strange feeling to see the cameras in there watching. Here in Knoxville, the Vols at least gave you a good feeling for a half. Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, bamboozled a lot of people.
You went into halftime thinking, okay, like, hey, we're somewhat in this. Now, it was a little dejecting, you know, to get down before the end of the first half and maybe should have scored a touchdown, kind of mismanaged the clock, miss an open throw.
Kind of. I mean, that's about as bad you can mess up the clock at, yeah, that I can think of. 15 seconds and you still run another play? What? Call it with what, two timeouts, right? Yeah. Two timeouts in the pocket.
You got the snap off within 2 seconds, and the guy, I guess, was open, so maybe you had something you thought was going. Then you get a penalty. It was just, it wasn't great management. Then you, of course, miss the field goal, and you go in dejected when you could have been tied. And, you know, really, Tennessee benefited from two, I don't want to say busted plays, but a screen pass that was properly executed that, you know, defender missed tackle, and you took it to the house. That's what you're supposed to do. And then another one was, you know, a nice design where you get them to jump on the screen and then beat them over the top. But that was all the offense you got. You didn't score any points in the second half, and that can't make you feel good.
Nope.
We'll probably dive into that more now.
I was going to say, I got some thoughts to fire off about Josh Heupel.
Okay, we'll get to it next then. We usually do NFL, but I guess it's, you know, coming out of Florida, I don't want to be like Blake Toppenmeyer and turn post-Florida Monday into – it's disrespectful for Tennessee to disrespect the troops and cancel the Army game. Did you see that? That was the article written today. Was the Medal of Honor convention's in Knoxville next year, and you know they were going to go to the Tennessee Army game afterwards, and Tennessee didn't respect the troops, and they bought out of it, and that's shameful.
Who gives a damn?
Right. I mean, like that seems like,
I feel like it's more respecting the troops to be like, hey, you don't have to put your bodies on the line against us. Here's just $500,000.
Here's $500,000. You can go double dip too, get you another opponent for, you know, $500,000 or $1 million and, you know, come out looking good. I was like, that's something you maybe should have waited for the offseason to do, not like after a Florida week. But let's just talk Tennessee, Florida after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We're back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Only 100 calories and 1 gram of sugar. I enjoyed some White Claws this weekend as I watched Tennessee, Florida. I enjoyed them in the first half. The second half, it kind of just hit different in a non-responsible way. I encourage you to drink responsibly. All right, Draven, you said you had some takes you wanted to get off your chest about Tennessee, Florida. Tennessee goes down to the swamp. Same old same. No depth. Can't handle 60 minutes. Can't cover in these big spreads. I believe what I say the number was on Friday, 5-18 as double-digit underdogs, I believe was the number.
I feel like an idiot betting on them, too.
At least you didn't make them your lock of the week, I guess. Could be worse.
Could be.
How'd your college football picks go this week, Caden?
3-3.
3-3? Lose the juice again.
That's pretty good for you, though. I mean, finally get to 500.
Good job by you,
Jordan. I mean, they were all close, but, like, they just
Cam
fell apart at the end.
You know what? 14-3, is that right?
Yep, over the last 3 weeks.
Damn, that's crazy.
And then you had 4-0 in week 0.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not giving it to you, but again, 17-3, it's 85%. That's pretty good.
So what'd you went 5-0,
dude. 5-0. Not to brag.
Man. UTSA game wasn't looking good there for a minute. Looked like it was going to be a blowout for a minute.
That was lucky? You don't think that they're clearly better?
3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter or whatever.
I mean, second half. I don't think it was all fourth quarter.
I'm pretty sure it was fourth quarter.
It might have been at the very beginning of the fourth quarter, I guess. But, I mean, they were down on the goal line. It wasn't like they had to drive three times. Memphis isn't very good.
Got Louisiana Lafayette.
Three of my teams coming through straight up on the money line, too. Notre Dame.
Louisiana Lafayette was up 15.
Arkansas
dominating.
That one was easy.
5-0.
That and the under. Oof, easy.
So I'm heating up. What was I before? 4-3? Really, I'd put to back. I'd put 2-2 or 2-1 weeks back-to-back. Hitting locks.
What'd I go? 3-2?
5-0. Okay. Good job by you, Cam. We're heating up.
Let's do it.
All right, Draven, give us your takes. What'd you have? Tennessee goes down there, moves the ball a little bit in the first half, can't do anything in the second half, burn themselves again with penalties and drop passes, another sloppy performance. Give it to us. What do you got?
Well, I just think a lot of people are trying to defend Josh Heupel after this game.
A lot of people I saw said, not Josh Heupel's fault, called a great game. That was the general consensus in my
Well, but on my Discord. Let me ask you guys, when we talk about just a head coach, not even just calling plays, nothing like that. Head coach, what do you look at, Hayden? What are you looking at on the field to judge a head coach, to judge him properly? You're looking at what?
Game management.
Game management, time management. You could say that, time management. The time management.
Energy level is important to
energy
me as well.
Level, I guess just motivation, being able to motivate the players a little bit.
Energy level needs to be there.
And I would say that wasn't bad. I did hate, what did Javonte Payton tweet after the game? Like, win or lose, I love how these guys fight. It's just like, I don't
loser.
Know. That's kind of it's a loser mentality, is it not? It's almost like coming into the game, like, yeah, we think we're not going to beat Florida. The players should not think that. The players should fully believe that they can upset Florida. That why not us? That's part of being the head coach, to motivate those guys going into every single football game. And the fact they tweeted out just made it feel like, yeah, they kind of came into this game thinking, as long as we play hard, it's going to be a win, right? Or as long as we look okay or fight or keep up a little bit of a fight in the game, we'll be all right. I didn't like that. That means maybe a little bit lack of motivation. I don't know. I don't know what Hype was saying behind the scenes, but that was the first bad sign. I brought up time management. The time management, what are we doing at times? Right before the first half, there's also a point in the game, I believe maybe early fourth quarter, late third quarter. I want to say it was early fourth quarter. Three possession game. Maybe it doesn't matter anyways, but we have a fourth and two, I want to say, around the Florida 40-yard line right there, and we get a delay of game. You get a delay of game, and then you end up punting the ball. It's like, how do you get a delay of game? Like, the coach should know the next move every single time. He should know.
especially for a team that's trying to go really fast. Like,
exactly. It should have been up to the line. Right. No questions about it. No issues at all. And instead, what do we do? Delay a game. We punt. It's pretty much over at that point. If you could score, who knows? Two possession games. Still a lot of time in the fourth quarter. Who knows? But instead, we get nothing out of it. We get nothing.
Yeah, it was.
Fourth and two from Florida's 43. And you got a delay of game, then punted. I mean, even after the delay of game, you should have gone for it. Down 17 at midfield, you take your chance on fourth and seven. Especially
exactly.
When your defense can't stop Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's over. We know it's over pretty much after you punt the ball away. It's over.
That was one of the main questions I had on Friday. I don't know if you recall, but I said, is Josh Heupel going down there to not get embarrassed, or is he going down there to win? Mm-hmm. When you punt on fourth and seven from your midfield.
And the fourth quarter.
You're going down there not to get embarrassed.
And it makes it look so much worse, like third down. It was third and eight. And you run Jabari Small for 6 yards. Like, that is a play where you get two downs to get there.
Exactly.
Here.
You're setting up the fourth
you're
down.
You're going to go for it on fourth down.
Right.
You're going to try to get the at least halfway there. You got more than halfway there. So it's like, why did you not just, I mean, even just run the ball and try to get the first down right there real fast?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
And that was probably my biggest issue. But also, like, what else do we judge a coach? Discipline. Right, I mean, we say, like, we look at penalties, turnovers, and maybe you can't always blame that on the coach, but typically we do, right? Typically we do say, like, yeah, these coaches, like, discipline, just constant penalties, or more just constant maybe mental errors, like hitting the guy on a punt return. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, that, you don't see Alabama doing this kind of stuff. You don't see these actual well-coached teams pulling stuff like that. So my biggest thing, like, I'm not going to give up on Heupel after one game, but for people to say after the game that they thought he did a great job, great game plan, blah, 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 I thought he was bad. I thought he was bad. Those are, like, the main things you look at when a head coach, and I thought every single one of those categories, he was pretty much bad. Average to bad.
Cam, what did you think while watching the game? I thought, you know, a lot of what Draven said is correct in terms of – and again, I had those questions. Are you going in there to win, or are you going in there to not get embarrassed? And again, if you get fourth and two from your 40, and you don't, or from Florida's 40, you don't know what you're going to do, and you end up taking a delay of game and punting. Like, that's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, he definitely mismanaged a few situations there for sure. And I think, like you said, he turned out to look like he was playing not to get embarrassed, and which is, I mean, it looked like Florida was on cruise control too to me, especially in the first half. It looked like they were just chilling, like, eh. Tennessee's going to mess up eventually, and, you know, we just didn't have enough to stay with them, and they were able to pull away. But, yeah, it looked like they were on cruise control. Heupel was probably, like, thrilled to be in that pit situation at halftime, be, you know, just riding around, hanging around with them. But
probably a little bit dejected that the last drive didn't get any points. But, yeah, overall, like, hey, only down by three. We're right in this.
Yep.
And then Florida comes out in their first drive of the second half and goes right down the field on you.
Kind of was hoping they'd call timeouts at the end of the game just so they could punch it in, maybe more to cover the spread.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think? You think you should call timeouts in that situation or just let it run out? Because, I mean, the game's over, but I think you would like to just get that last score, wouldn't you? Maybe I'm just saying that from the betting perspective,
well,
but
it's funny, but I mean, I've had a theory for a while, like, that, you know, that is one of the things you determine success on for early year coaches, or, you know, can you at least cover the spread? Because mm-hmm. imagine most boosters or people, like, at least know what the number is and kind of set the expectation there. And if yep. you're Tennessee, like, if you're not looking from a point spread standpoint, losing by 16 looks better than losing by 24 if you're able to punch it in and go for two. Like,
yep. Yep.
that would have looked better, rather than saying you got blown out by more than 20.
I think Dan Mullen was trying to cover the spread at the end.
He was. Dan Mullen knows. He knows how to keep the fans happy. You go in, you get as many points as you want, and he scored a touchdown, and they went right down the field. They wanted to. I mean, if you're Heupel, is that going to matter in the grand scheme of things? No, but it does add to the sour taste in people's mouths today. And it's not like Joe Milton was in there and, like, crisp. It wasn't like he didn't need the reps. It wasn't like this offense doesn't need some confidence of saying, hey, at least we scored in the second half. Because getting shut out in the second half is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
A garbage time touchdown, does that carry anything for you? Probably not, but at least you could say, hey, we scored. We found some things that worked.
Yeah.
You can send Joe Milton, who might have to start against Missouri because Hooker gets annihilated on a flea flicker.
And, by the way, don't even get me started on the damn flea flicker. Down three possessions. Was it third, fourth quarter? I remember when that was at that point.
I believe it was fourth quarter, down 17. We joked about the flea flicker, and then we actually ran one in the worst position ever. Probably the second worst flea flicker of the weekend, though, after Trevor Lawrence's pick six.
That just shows people need to quit running the flea flicker.
Off one foot, like, trying to get rid of
just
the ball.
Just floated it out there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You very rarely see the flea flicker to the flats that Trevor Lawrence tried to throw, but you also very rarely see the flea flicker down 17 where you fumble and get your quarterback concussed. So, like, I mean, I do think Joe Milton needed some help. When Joe Milton got in, he was obviously either very uninterested or just continuing to be very bad at football. He sucks.
Yeah.
He is so bad.
Just even the last throw. Just at least get it in the end zone. Give him a shot.
I just don't even understand, like, why Heupel's not calling plays that would help him. Like, the only thing he could do good is throw the 10 to 15-yard pass across the middle like he did to Bayless Jones. And then, like, at the end of that drive, he's throwing, like, fades. It's like, Every time you tell Joe that you're going to throw a fade or just a streak, he's going to throw it 10 yards out of bounds. Like, that's the only thing he knows how to do.
I like the added wrinkle of after a big loss, you have name, image, and likeness now giving people a free run at getting to tweet some things. So Velas Jones is able to say, hey, if you think I should get the ball more, buy my merchandise.
And tweet out. He said that?
Oh, you didn't see that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, he released a new shirt or hoodie or something and was basically like, if you think I deserve the ball more, make your statement by buying this. Which is a nice added wrinkle.
Oh, no, man.
Don't hate that.
No.
Secure the bag.
No, Cam. No, you don't say that. You don't say that after a loss.
Why not? The loss happened. You're not going to change that. You may sell a few extra T-shirts.
You might. You might sell some few extra T-shirts. It's a letter grade, Draven. What are you giving Josh Heupel's performance?
For Heupel, like a D? D minus? Like, at least it could have been worse. I guess that's the other side of it. It could have been a lot worse. I could have just got absolutely killed. Not even a hope. Not even a lead at any point in the game. So there was some positives at least. But still, no. Down the stretch was terrible. I thought he was terrible.
If Jimmy Callaway catches the ball on 4th and 5 on a brilliantly designed play, I mean, that was about as good of a pick play as you could see.
Yeah.
You know, you have...
It's probably a touchdown.
Big Sed Tillman come through and basically take out three guys on an inside route, and you get Callaway out into the flats. He should easily catch it, turn up the field, maybe score a touchdown, at least gain 15, 20 yards, get you a first and goal. Pick up the first down on 4th and 5. In that situation, there were 6 minutes left in the third quarter. It's 24-14. You could keep some pressure on Florida. Instead, you drop it, and the game's basically over.
Yeah, even if you would have went down and stopped Florida and just kept got the ball back again, I think at that point that's just like such a the downer of a play. Like
yeah.
you
it was
see
dejecting.
That like your whole team sees
dejecting.
That and you're just like, it's not our day. And I think you weren't gonna go anywhere from there after that, regardless.
Who the hell is buying Velas Jones sweatpants with like a VJ on the side and orange? Who the hell's buying that?
I don't know.
No somebody, one. Right?
Like, do all the, like, I'm not trying to single him out because you see it with everybody. Like, Harrison Bailey's got his damn logo on shirts, and at least they're like, he's doing it for like a charity movement or something.
Oh, really?
So maybe you can get some people to buy some, then you like you make them feel like they're doing a cost.
Right.
Like, do all these kids think they have a brand like this? Like, is anybody buying Velas Jones sweatpants? Like, or a toboggan with VJ on the side? Like, is
not me.
Is anyone doing that? For the people who want to see me get the ball more, tell them to buy some merch for me and wear it at the games to start a movement. Fire emoji. Message me if interested.
I'd kick this guy off the team. Man, like, buy my stuff so I get the ball more. So basically, he's A, just cares about his brand, and then B, he cares about getting the ball more. That's his biggest concern. Not the fact that they lost. Not like, oh, I could be better. It's, oh, I need to get the ball more. When you can't even return a kickoff to the damn 25-yard line.
What did you make of the defense? Emory Jones picked him apart. 21 of 27, 209 yards. Also ran the ball 15 times, and he ended up with what? How many rushing yards?
Like 180, wasn't it?
It was like one of the first quarterbacks to go
144,
over.
I believe.
144,
passing,
okay.
And 100 yards rushing since Tebow or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say he was the, Florida's first QB to go 200, 100 since Tebow did it in 09. So, Emory Jones, you made him look like Tim Tebow.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
The defense.
Glad the backup didn't play.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. They didn't even have to have him.
Really, though.
Which, I mean, maybe for Jones, maybe he's going to kind of keep his job now, at least till they play Georgia, and then probably come crashing down when they play Georgia. But, I mean, the defense, how do we feel about them? Because it seems like they're kind of in an impossible task when they get, you know, just dominating the time of possession like they did.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, with this style of offense, if you're not scoring points, you're not going to have a lot of possession.
35-29 to 24-31 was the time of possession. Another sloppy game for Tennessee. 10 penalties for 85 yards.
Yeah, that came back.
Jeez.
I think most of them were in the first half, but still.
You give up 500 total yards to Florida.
Not even special teams didn't really look sharp either. And
no. Missed field goal, the punt return penalty. That was a 30-yard penalty, too. I forgot about that. That wasn't just 15. That was a 30-yard penalty.
Yep.
Oh, man.
No, that's bad.
I don't know. Defense, be the same for me. It was just I thought there was a lack of adjustments. Like, you knew Emory Jones was going to be running a lot in the second half, and we still couldn't stop him.
Oh, yeah. I think Florida made their right adjustments, too.
Well, that's fine. But, like, did we run a quarterback spy at all? Did we see anybody really spying Emory Jones? That was my thing. It was like, okay, we know.
We don't have any linebackers that could keep up with him anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's fine. But
I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, our linebackers are the worst in the SEC, probably, that's not named Vanderbilt. Poor Vanderbilt. Did you guys see that? They were down 35-0 in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Georgia was covering the spread in the first quarter.
they legit could have scored 100 points. They could have won the game 100-0 if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't they have, I mean, they only had Vandy barely over 62 yards, right? So Georgia had almost as many points as Vandy had yards.
I think Vandy had
yards.
Like 71 yards.
71?
Yeah.
Wow. It could be worse.
Apparently in the press conference today, Heupel was asked directly about the quarterbacks being banged up. Because, you know, he just said Joe Milton still isn't healthy. Mm-hmm. Hendon Hooker probably going to be out on Saturday. Asked if this was a big week for Harrison Bailey, and apparently Josh Heupel sidestepped the question, kept talking about Milton and how he's going to continue to progress his health, and didn't mention Bailey at all. So if you're in the Bailey Brigade, probably still not going to be seeing him on Saturday. And what might be a must-win game for Josh Heupel, for year one at least.
Yeah.
Can't lose to a team that just lost to Boston College.
It would be tough. I mean,
Boston College is terrible.
I can't believe I bet on that game. I thought Missouri had it, too. They made a 56-yard field goal. And then the quarterback's terrible. Missouri's quarterback is not good. Yeah, I don't know why anybody tried to hype him up a little bit. He is not good.
That Beatty guy's pretty good, though.
Good call by Jared. He writes in that we didn't even mention the biggest gaffe, which was having 9 men on the field for that punt return.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
How did Florida not notice that?
So what exactly happened there?
There was two number ones on the field. Right? It was Bayless and it was Flowers.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what happened. It was because they had two of the same jersey number, and that's a penalty if they find that out. So instead of one of them staying on, they both ran off. And that's why we didn't have a punt returner.
Yeah. It was right after a commercial break, wasn't it?
That's what I was going to say. I kind of missed it a little bit.
A
bathroom run for me. I kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's exactly what happened. I'm pretty sure it was Bayless and then Flowers.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Two number ones. Yeah. One of them could have stayed on and just returned the punt, but instead, both of them ran off because they both, I guess, realized at the same time. I don't know.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Of course, the announcer just had to go off about that when
I
they talked about
Greg
it.
Greg McElroy.
Yeah, McElroy's the worst.
Him.
He is the worst.
He is the worst announcer.
I like the other guy, though.
Was it Testor?
I think so. Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It was Testor. Yeah.
Well, we're 3.5-point underdogs.
Against Mizzou?
Yep.
Gotta cover that spread. Gotta win the game.
Yeah.
Hype along, going for it on fourth downs. From a philosophical standpoint, I believe in being aggressive. We use analytics at times, but it's not all based on that. There's feeling and flow to the game that goes into it as well.
Analytics. He didn't know what – I think he didn't know what they were going to do. He wasn't prepared. That's why they got delay a game, and it was scramble mode. What would your Hopple grade be? Shooting higher than a D-minus?
I mean, yeah, I'll give him a C-minus. Not much better. Because I do think, like, there were some times that, you know, players kind of laid him down. But at the same time, I just I don't want to be negative this early because it doesn't do anybody any good. Mm-hmm. There's people that still want to buy in. I don't want to make them mad just because, like, you know, I don't want to just come in here and just berate after a game that we don't have the horses in. But, like, man, like, if you're watching this team, like, we're going to have some open plays every now and then. It's true. But, like, these guys just aren't good enough against this competition. And the scariest thing to me is that I don't know how you have confidence that Tennessee's ever going to have players good enough whenever you have somebody here that can't recruit.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at right now. Is like, you could be better. The offense might work with better players, but I just don't know if you're ever going to have the players good enough. Right? I mean, this guy can't recruit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, you had people.
Get smaller as well.
Yep.
You had people tweeting saying that, like, wait till he gets some good players in here. Then, yeah, then we'll be something.
Well, that's what you
wait
could sell.
Till he gets his quarterback
well,
in
that's
here.
What you could sell with Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt, you know, because those guys looked like they could recruit. And, like, with this guy, it doesn't look like he can. So, like, I don't know if I can say wait till he gets better players because I don't know if he ever will get better players. That's what's stressful for me.
Yeah.
The roster's not good enough, and I don't know if we have any coaches that can make it better. The only thing you can hope is that you find enough, like, transfers next year that see that there's some holes in this and they play a good system. And, like, hey, if I'm a quarterback, I can put up some pretty friendly numbers here. I can go in there and have a chance to play, and I can go in there and, like, you know, play in the SEC, and I can maybe put up 300 yards a game.
Absolutely.
That's the only hope you have is, like, find a good quarterback and hope that that's enough to get some guys to come with him. Otherwise, it seems.
Otherwise, you have to be an above-average coach. You have to elevate a bunch of three-star guys who have nothing going on. And
sure.
Not a great start, in my opinion. Like I said, I just thought he was pretty bad in this past game.
And again, he did everything he could on that 4th and 5. I mean, like, he had a wide-open receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame him on that.
And maybe if they score a touchdown there, and then this game goes differently. Not saying Tennessee would win, but maybe don't lose by 24.
Yeah, at least stays reasonable.
Sure. And I mean, that was a brilliant design. That's why I couldn't get him less than a C-minus. But man, like, the punt and the on fourth down, the penalties, the clock management, it just seems like those things aren't going to be his strong suit. And also, like, bro, like, we can't just play so fast. It's not going to work in the SEC with this defense. Mm-hmm. Like, your offense, to do that, your offense has to be Alabama.
Yeah.
Or Ole Miss. And do you feel like this offense is close to Alabama or Ole Miss?
No.
Did you miss the part where I said they got shut out in the second half?
Yeah.
Like, that's a death blow. Like, that's why you got blown out in the second half, is you couldn't score, and you're also going fast, and your defense just gets bled out on the field. So I don't have a lot of hope.
Yeah.
And again, I'm trying not to jump off ship. I don't think this loss is going to matter in the grand scheme of things for season one. I don't think Heupel comes out feeling good about himself. I don't think you should come out feeling great about Heupel, but I do think you could look and say, okay, there's some things here that maybe we can eventually improve on.
Yeah. Yeah, they have flashes.
However, I feel like you got to go beat Missouri.
Is this like the breaking point for a lot of fans, you think? Like, you got to win this game if you lose? Because, you know, you're right. There are a lot of people who are still on board.
I think it's one of the first breaking points. I think you'll have people upset, but I do think if you beat – thing is, like, you go what? You come back home and then play Ole Miss?
Mm-hmm. I believe you play South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina.
You know, you beat South Carolina, you'll have some people kind of back on board. And then you'll have two more chances, like, against basically either Ole Miss or Kentucky. If he wins either one of those games, then maybe, you know, you can salvage something here. So I won't say, like, people will be out. This isn't, like, the breaking point. But, like, it does feel pretty big for keeping the team together. Again, we got guys peddling merch after a loss.
That's embarrassing.
We got a quarterback room that's about to explode, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, there's some trouble here. Let's go to break. We'll switch gears. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Office Furniture Outfitters has the biggest selection of the best value in office furniture around.
Let's just stay in college football since we're here. I mean, I'm not going to call myself the expert because Cam is, again, 17-3. I guess I'm second-ranking expert. Our person we thought was actual expert is terrible at picking games in college. So, Cam, what were your big takeaways from the college football weekend as our college football expert?
I don't know. I still don't know how to feel about a lot of teams.
The biggest thing is comparing Clemson, like, see ya.
Yeah, Clemson is terrible. They, for some reason, their offense is incompetent.
I feel like I need a personal apology from a lot of the Tony Elliott fans. They were talking about how Tennessee should hire him. Draven, I believe you were one of them.
I knew that was coming. Yeah,
I'd actually forgot Tony Elliott. I'd actually forgot you were until you just looked at me nervously as if I was going to, like, oh no, I forgot. I really did forget that you came in here that day trying to convince me how good he was, but.
Yeah, I did.
Maybe I underrated.
I don't know. Maybe DJ's pretty bad. We can admit that. DJ's really bad.
Well, I got to thinking about that because DJ's bad, but Trevor Lawrence also kind of sucks in the NFL. And I was thinking Trevor Lawrence kind of sucked last year in college football, too, honestly.
It
it's just
it wasn't
they
great.
They just didn't play anybody. He kind of regressed. And then, like, when they actually played somebody, he couldn't, like, turn it on. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, like, how good they were with good players last year on offense.
Yeah,
like,
honestly.
It feels like Clemson might be. I don't want to say in trouble because obviously they'll still be a good program, but it does feel like they are slipping out from being the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the ACC, you talk about down bad. Highest ranked team is NC State at 23.
Shout out to Dave Doran, though. That's a guy that.
They looked good. They've looked good this year.
Doesn't really turn you on. When Tennessee was linked to hire him, we were all kind of like, eh, whatever. Not really. We'd rather not have you. Don't come. And then he's like, I'm not coming. And, like, it seems like he's a pretty good football coach for NC State. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to win big there or whatever, but, hey, they don't need to. Just go 8-4, 9-3, get a big upset every 3 or 4 years, and you'll be good. And they shut down Clemson's offense and got the win.
They were trying to blow that game, too. The kicker was, at least. My goodness.
Yep, kicker misses. I don't want to call it a chip shot, but should have made the field goal.
He should have.
Yep.
So Clemson officially eliminated.
I think Georgia's best team in the country. I think I think that's where we're at right now.
Still gonna have to beat Alabama in a one-game playoff, although it might not matter. They might both still get in after that.
Yeah.
I will say Georgia.
Big game for Alabama this weekend. So
huge game. Although they opened as I think 20-point favorites.
I saw 14 and a half.
I was gonna say I saw it open at 20 and then get bet down to 16.5 immediately. It might be still going down because it seems like too many points to give Ole Miss when you have the defense that Alabama does have. So. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets all the way down to, like, 10 before kickoff, honestly, because I think there's just going to be money still pouring in.
Georgia's got a big game, too.
Who does Georgia have?
They got Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's also an 18.5-point spread.
See if Arkansas's for real. I mean,
is that at Georgia?
Yeah, it's at Georgia. It's a noon game.
Why is it a noon game?
I think it was just scheduled.
I saw a lot of Georgia fans very
upset. But they change the schedule all the time. They'll change it whenever they need
2 weeks. I guess they didn't think they were going to beat A&M. And plus, I mean, like, they want Ole Miss Alabama at 3:30, right? So, I mean.
That's fine, but you can't do 7 o'clock game on ESPN. Yeah. Like, instead we're getting some terrible, probably Big 12 game that nobody cares about.
Cam, you said we'll find out if Arkansas is for real or not. I don't think it's fair to judge them. If they get blown out by Georgia, like, they're still going to be a good team. Like, I don't anticipate that they'll be able to keep that one close.
If you see, I'd say if they were within, like, couple scores, you'd be like, okay, this Arkansas team's pretty solid. Sure. They
need their
going
starting
here.
Quarterback. Another quarterback got hurt in that Texas A&M game.
I
think he came back in at the end of the game.
I think he did too.
Yeah, but
the 6 p.m. ESPN game is Florida Kentucky.
That's not bad.
At Kentucky.
I'm all right with that one.
Yeah, it's okay, I guess. I mean, Georgia.
Putting
Arkansas's
Georgia
better.
In primetime is just dangerous though, because if they blow out somebody, like, you lose viewers.
I think the Big 12's down this year, too.
UConn and Vanderbilt this week.
Yeah. UConn and Vanderbilt?
Toilet bowl.
You can't lose that, Vandy. Vandy can't
Did UConn beat Wyoming?
No. I know they hung around. They lost on a two-point conversion.
Yeah. Oh, no, man.
Oh, really? So they were close?
They were up.
They were winning like most of the game, actually.
They were.
I did see Bowling Green beat PJ Fleck in Minnesota.
Yeah.
14-10.
Wonder how Russell's going to spend that one as the leader of the PJ Fleck fan club. Wonder how he's going to spin that one around as Bowling Green gets their first win over a Power 5 team in, what, 4 or 5 years?
Wasn't that one of the bigger upsets ever?
Power 5 team, but yeah, it was
they're,
Power 5 team,
they're,
yeah.
They're, like, I think it was 31.
Yeah, 31 and a half, I think I saw it.
That was nuts.
So the ACC is pretty much dead. No one's coming out of the ACC and getting in the playoff, you wouldn't think. It seems like that's a foregone conclusion.
I think the Big 12's down.
The Big 12 still has Oklahoma, but they're booing Oklahoma. They're booing Spencer Rattler and calling for him to be backed up, to be benched and bring the backup in.
They don't look good at all.
Texas scored 70 on Texas Tech.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas A&M sucks.
A&M, yeah, I don't think A&M.
I think A&M.
Why? Does Texas A&M teach our quarterbacks to be as robotic as possible? Is that what they preach? That's he looks just, like a no, different
that's
version.
That's the way Jimbo stuff is.
I mean, he looks just like Kellen Mond. Like, he just looked the whole throwing with his shoulders. Like, everything's the same. He just looks like a robot out there.
That's how the Jimbo quarterbacks kind of are.
That offense to me just seems like they would love to run Spiller 50 times a game, but like they just realize they can't, so they have to throw the quarterback.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'll see a point spread that doesn't make sense. It's nice to be vindicated on those. I think we were all pretty much on Notre Dame plus 6 this weekend, and I didn't understand why Wisconsin was favored over anybody by 6 points. Like
offense
is so terrible.
They just don't score enough points to cover 7-point spreads against good teams, and I don't know how good Notre Dame is. I actually do think they're better off with their backup quarterback. It seemed like he had a little bit more pop, a little more juice. Jack Cohn is just your very average, stereotypical Big Ten-ish adjacent quarterback, and that's what he looked like.
They got a huge game this week for him.
Who do they got this
week?
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Coming off a bye week.
It's in South Bend, right?
Yes.
Thanks.
It is.
Will you get me the early point spread on that one? When is that?
Yeah, I got it right
Cincinnati's
here.
Cincinnati's favorite, actually.
Cincinnati minus 2.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. On the road? No way.
Bye week.
Is that
I'm
the backup quarterback thing? Like, why would Notre Dame not be favored?
Because Cincinnati's good. It's at 1.5 now.
I'll be taking Notre Dame this weekend on my picks.
Notre Dame first half for sure. Cincinnati looks terrible in the first half. They have it all year.
I'll roll with Cincy. Cincy's going to get up for this game.
I think so, too, but I think Notre Dame's going to get up, too. Now, maybe it's hard to get up, but I don't know. 31-3.
I still don't trust that Notre Dame offense.
31-3.
Yeah, that fourth quarter was just like, what in the world?
I've never seen such a thing. 31-3.
I just don't trust the Notre Dame offense enough. Like think about that. Three of those touchdowns they had there were a kick return touchdown and 2 pick-sixes.
Yeah, no,
that's only one of their points.
That's fine. I do think, like I said, though, when Drew Pine came in, he has more pop than Cone. So I do think him running around. And, they can do a little bit more of the RPO read option stuff. I think that'll make them a little bit better.
Depends on if they said Cone, I'm not sure the extent, but, they said, if he ends up healthy, he's still the starter. So.
Well, then I hope he's not healthy.
Yeah.
I hope he's not healthy. But that's a big game this weekend. So we got a couple big games as we look ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are 4 good teams in the country, honestly.
I love that, though. College football, this is the most balanced it's felt in a long time.
Good. I think Oregon's pretty good.
You can call it balanced if you want, but to me it just seems like pretty average outside of Georgia and maybe Oregon and Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, at least
those would be my 3 probably right now.
And sure, the next between 4 and 15, they're all probably interchangeable, but
at least it's cool seeing Clemson, Ohio State.
Sure.
Kind of off
to Arkansas,
at least bad starts.
Top 8.
Yeah, exactly. A little
Michigan
change up.
Hanging around. Okay, Michigan, this might be your chance to finally beat Ohio State. Like maybe you can run the table. You got
Wisconsin's favorite against them this week.
Why? What?
Half a point. I don't know.
It's Michigan?
Yeah. It's in Madison at noon.
Yep.
Graham Mertz sucks.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm taking the under in that game.
Michigan's defense has been pretty damn good. I understand. I understand that winning on the road is hard in college, and that every week is different. But how the hell do you watch that Wisconsin game and then make them favored over a team like Michigan? Maybe it's just they're perfect matches for each other, and Michigan don't have an offense either, so it's just going to be ugly and go with the home team. I don't know. I just don't know how you'd bet on Wisconsin after what you saw there and against Penn State. Like, they're two big games of the year that you watch. Like, they look terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the doubt they have about Michigan.
Yeah, maybe.
They do this every year, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe.
They didn't look great against Rutgers. They didn't score. They didn't score a point in the second half either. They got shut out. Yeah, they were up 20-3 at halftime.
So, top 10 matchup, Arkansas and Georgia. Top 10 matchup, Cincinnati and Notre Dame. Top 12 matchup, Ole Miss and Alabama.
Alabama's favored by 14, by the way.
Who?
Alabama's favored by 14.5.
It opened at 20, according to SEC Mike. Mm. So it has been bet down. But again, like, I mean, I think with a good reason. Like, Ole Miss might, you know, win that game, but also they might, you know, if they're down 21 late in the fourth quarter, you trust them to go down and get a touchdown if they have to get you in the back door. Florida and Kentucky is intriguing, I think. Although Kentucky seems like they've kind of hit a wall. They keep winning, but.
How's Kentucky not ranked?
Because they beat South Carolina by 6.
And barely beat
and
UT Chad.
Missouri and barely beat UTC. Like, they are.
I would have Kentucky ranked over Clemson right now.
Is Clemson still ranked? I thought
they
dropped out.
Yeah, they're ranked 25th, I think.
They're right at 25.
Would you really, like, if Clemson and Kentucky were playing, you would pick Kentucky to beat them?
Well, I'm just in the rankings. I mean, Clemson has 2 losses.
I know, but if you're just trying to find the 25 best teams, like, I mean, is there anybody out there saying Kentucky's better than Clemson besides Kentucky fans? I know they don't always do the rankings that way because, like, sometimes it's just, like, who's most deserving and whatever, but I don't have a problem with Clemson being ranked ahead of them. I've been betting on Kentucky, you know, here on the show and, you know, making them my lock, and they've been coming through. It has been ugly. It hasn't been a fun experience.
Yeah, it hasn't, but it's working.
That second half of Kentucky-South Carolina, that was brutal. Just fumble, followed by a turnover on downs, just nonstop.
South Carolina's quarterback situation still bad. The Doty guy was not very good.
Nope. Baylor-Oklahoma State, apparently a top 25 matchup. 2 4-0 teams playing this weekend. There's some pretty good college football coming up on
Saturday. You going to watch that Big 12 game?
I won't, but some people will.
I have no intrigue in that game.
Auburn,
both
LSU,
teams are bad.
Auburn headed to Death Valley.
Yeah.
Auburn should have lost to Georgia State, man.
Yeah, they should.
TJ Finley, the hero. How about it? What a comeback story for that guy.
LSU favored by 3.5 points.
So is Auburn announce a starting quarterback? They going back to Bo Nix after benching him or what?
How did they go from Jared Stidham to Bo Nix, where both of them are basically like, hey, 5 stars that are supposed to be good that actually suck.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep playing them, and you're going to keep thinking that they might turn the corner, but they're going to keep sucking. They've done that back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of upcoming weeks in the SEC, we did get our TV schedule for October 9th.
Oh.
Tennessee making their home at noon. So Tennessee, South Carolina at noon.
This has got to be a record.
Yes.
For most noon games in a.
I mean, what would that be? 4? Season? That'd be 4, right?
It's
in the first.
Getting close to it.
Oh my gosh.
4 noon games in 5 weeks or
well,
6 weeks.
Well, you
only have 3. Pitt, right. Tennessee Tech, Mizzou, and
because of Mizzou coming up. Okay, and then what's his the App State game? Was that gonna or not App State, but. Who put Bowling Green? Was that going to be at noon that we switched to tonight?
I think so.
Jeez.
It was either going to be at noon or 4, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it was noon.
I remember. Hour 1 of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee. Make your plans to go take in some sports up at Harris Cherokee. The book has a large viewing area, 90-foot screen. You get every game on there. You got private fan caves for you and your friends. You can rent them. They give you three TVs to do with at your whatever you want with. I forgot what I was gonna say there.
At your leisure.
I was gonna say at your leisure. That didn't feel like what I was trying to say. That's what I was trying to say. Like, use at your discretion. Do whatever the hell you want with them. You don't even have to watch sports if you want. Just maybe they'll let you pop in some DVDs and just watch some One Tree Hill or Breaking Bad. I don't know. Convenient access to betting stations. Make some plans. You know, you ain't gotta go to Vegas for the sportsbook experience. Head up the road to the book at Harris Cherokee. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Harris Cherokee Casino is close to home and will turn your fun road trip into an